Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where you just missed a fascinating piece of a session because I forgot to hit record, because I'm very good at selling houses, and I'm very good on stage. I suck at technology, apparently, but I'm excited because so far this morning, I've gotten reacquainted with my friend Bill here, who apparently was on my podcast in the past, and I had forgotten about him because I am medium-aged, and I forget things. But anyway, Bill, welcome back to the show.
Why, thank you.
Okay, so tell our friends who maybe are not as nerdy and haven't listened to all the episodes again recently who you are, how long you've been in real estate, where you're located, and then remind them what your episode was about because they probably remember far better than I.
So I'll do the episode first. So the episode was the Icicle House. We do a lot of foreclosure properties. So we represent banks on their REO properties. And this particular one was one where I walked up to the property to do the initial inspection. As I came around to the back of the house, I heard a waterfall. So I think it was in February. And as I climbed through the window, which we do a lot on these properties to get into the house, we found a whole first floor that was being leaked on from the second floor where a pipe had apparently broke, or the ex-owner just decided to leave the water on and there was icicles everywhere. So,
okay, so people, go back and look at all the old episodes, find Bill and listen to the story because I do remember the story, and it was pretty horrifying, especially if you don't live in a part of the country where things ice. You don't even know this could happen. So, Bill, that was a while back, and you have continued to grow your real estate business since we talked. So, tell me what's new and exciting in your real estate life. And by the way, we got to tell them where in the north you are.
We cover two states, Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And we are a REMAX agent out of the REMAX Action out of Horsham, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia, about 10 miles to the northwest of it. We're going to go through this again, but we are Keller Williams agents over in New Jersey. So I can elaborate back on that if you would like.
Well, I mean, if you are a normal person, you don't care what company your realtor is with. But if you're a realtor person, you are naturally now thinking what I'm thinking was, how in the world can one human be affiliated with both REMAX and Keller Williams because they're the biggest companies in the world and very competitive with each other. And for a good comparison, it's kind of like being a half Carolina and half Duke person, which is very unnatural.
We started out as Keller Williams agents when we first got into the business. My wife and I were actually part owners in an office. I was a team leader for 3.5 years. So I managed an office for 3.5 years. And at some point, it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, production just got to a level where it didn't make sense to be paying Keller Williams the amount of money that we were paying. So strictly speaking, from a financial standpoint, it made sense for us to switch over to a more competitively priced brokerage. For the New Jersey side, we are relatively new. Again, I said this earlier, but we handle REO properties, bank-owned foreclosure properties, and we are relatively new, about a year and a half into the business over in New Jersey. So for that, it makes sense for us financially to belong to an office that can give us a good commission split over there.
Hey, normal people out there, when you hire a realtor and you pay them commissions, if you weren't aware, they don't get to keep everything that you see on that closing statement. It goes to the brokers. And so savvy agents have to figure out where you have the perfect mix of value and benefits. And we'll stop being nerdy about real estate companies because I know you consumers don't care. You like to hear the down and dirty, crazy stories that we have on this podcast show. So Bill, since you're now working in I don't know, the whole Northeast. Tell us why you wanted to come back on the show, because you have a really cool story this time.
This was a long time ago. It was back actually in 2007. Been in the business for about full time, about a year, little over a year. And as most agents are trying to find their way through their business, I was driving up a very well-traveled road, and I looked up to my right, and I saw a big banner on a fence that was a for sale by owner. I hadn't at that point really gotten into for sale by owners, as a lot of agents will probably tell you that they
are painful. They are very, very painful.
Painful is using the word lightly. I mean, there are
they hate us, Bill. Just call it what it is. Most for sale by owners just hate realtors, and dealing with us is kind of like having a root canal, but lasts longer.
And it's true, but I don't know why, right? I mean, again, more importantly, I think if somebody would look at it from strictly from a financial standpoint and the possibilities that go along with what can happen if something goes wrong, because, well, I mean, ultimately, that is the job of the real estate agent. It isn't to go out and show houses to people, right? I mean, they can do that online now. They can pretty much get a virtual tour of any property that they look at. In my opinion, it's our job to keep our clients out of court. So we need to know, without being an attorney, we need to know the contracts better than anybody else. And for any agent that's written contracts, and we've done over, we got to be pushing 800 transactions at this point. For anybody that's done that many transactions, you know the pitfalls that it could fall. So why anybody would want to do it by themselves without the knowledge and experience? It's like doing brain surgery. Or representing yourself in court, one or the other, right? So those are the analogies that are always used. But in this particular case, and we'll just call the client Mr. P, and his last name ended in a vowel. So I'm going to assume that he was of Italian descent. He was a large guy, smoked profusely. And that was in 2007, like I said, and I don't believe that Mr. P is still with us. But I called the number on the sign. And of course, I identify myself as a real estate agent, and he immediately went into why he doesn't need a real estate agent, which is typical. I convinced him that I should come over and take a look at the house and find out why it wasn't selling for him. When we first got talking, he told me that he had been trying to sell this house for the better part, I think, of a year and a half, I think is what he said. In all fairness, in that time in the real estate market, that was the downturn. Things weren't selling, and there were a lot of for sale by owners, FSBOs, just because nothing was moving at all back then. So I went over to the property, and the property was actually a rehab when I got there. So he didn't live there, and was a very, very cute cape in a good address, if you will. So the house was in Lower Gwinnett Township. Anybody that knows this area knows that that's a good address that people are desired, you know, people desire to get into. He had rehabbed the property. We went through and he told me how much he put into it and why he had to get out to it, how much he had to get out of it. And I think at the time he was asking somewhere around $300,000, which was probably excessive at that point. And it's probably about what that house would sell for right now, going on 12 years later. The main problem with it, and I think if it would have been two streets back, it would have sold very quickly for him. However, this was on a highway.
Location, location, location.
Exactly correct. So I convinced him that we had some marketing ideas that I think could get some foot traffic into the house. And for anybody that wants to do a for sale by owner, does your MLS, where you're at now, do they allow consumers to put?
No. You have to be a member of the system, which means you have to be a realtor in this market to utilize our MLS. Now, consumers can use things like Zillow and post their own properties, but as we all know, that's generally how you get realtors to call you.
pretty much correct. Now, funny note, back then you had to be a realtor to post in the MLS. Our MLS just, and there's varying opinions on this, but our MLS just allowed non-realtors in. To their system, to our system. So
that's a whole different podcast discussion right there.
Yes, it is. But at any rate, I sat down with Mr. P in his kitchen. He went through for about an hour the whole house. We told him we had some good marketing ideas, and he eventually let me list a property. And I think I listed it at $312,000, which was probably $30,000 overpriced at the time. My mindset was, the marketing on this needed to be marketing to somebody that wouldn't care that it was on a main road. We're in the suburbs here, but I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia. I literally lived two doors away from a train station on a busy road. And that road that this property was on wouldn't have made any difference to me. And again, this was 2007, but I managed to pull a list of all the agents down in and around that Northeast Philadelphia area and actually got a bunch of showings and an offer within a week. The only problem is that I accepted the offer from the other agent and I took it to Mr. P, and then Mr. P looked at the paperwork and he looked at the name on the paperwork and said, I don't think I can sell my property to this person.
Mr. P,
mm-hmm.
The only thing we care about mm-hmm. is if the money is green. That is all we care about.
Mr. P was pretty adamant about this. And he had no clue. You can look at a name and you can't discern anything. Bottom line, I told him that at that point, I hadn't met the other agent and I certainly hadn't met the potential buyer. So I convinced him that the offer, which I think was roughly about $300,000, that it was a really, really, really good offer. And the market was still tanking at that point and getting worse. I convinced him that he should take the offer. Bottom line, he accepted the offer. The problem with accepting the offer or not accepting the offer was that the buyer, as he should, was going to do inspections. This property had a septic system that ended up under inspection failing. So now it got turned around that this particular type of buyer was coming back for repairs specifically because he was that type of a buyer, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You could see where I'm going with that.
Yes, he sees an opportunity to renegotiate, which is how some people are just raised.
The buyer was right in that he can't move into a house with a failed septic system.
Well, that's true, unless you want to put it in an outhouse or just shit outside. I mean, some people want to. You just can't judge.
I forgot you're from the South. That's right. I'm sorry.
Hey, how come is it my people are the only class left that can be attacked?
Mm-hmm. And we have family in Savannah, so we love it down there, by the way.
Oh, please. We refer to Pennsylvania as the South Carolina of the North. We know who you people have up there. So anyway, we can't shit in the house and buyer's unhappy.
Well, it wasn't the buyer. The buyer, you know, again, it's the agents on either side's job to make sure that seller and buyer never cross paths isn't the right word. If there's animosity for whatever reason between the two, you obviously just want the transaction to go through because obviously the seller is selling the house because he would like to get rid of it. And the buyer is buying because he would like to move into it. It's the agent's job to manage expectations, if you would, and get the transaction to close. And bottom line, this transaction did close with the seller not being there and signing documents separately. But in the end, it worked out that everybody was happy and no fair housing laws were broken. Mr. P went on his merry way, and I really don't think that, bottom line, he cared who moved in the end. But again, I guess my question to this would have been, what would happen if Mr. P would have sold that house for sale by owner and ended up with that buyer? How would that have worked out?
Well, I mean, somebody would have gotten screwed. I mean, it's either that the buyer doesn't do the right inspections, if they don't have the right agent, or they don't know how to find the ability to move forward. Because as you know, what we do as professional realtors is exactly what you describe. We're managing these emotions in unexpected wild situations.
My point with this whole thing is that the buyer of this property was non-Caucasian. Now, we didn't know that at the time, but if Mr. P, Mr. Italian P, would have, if the buyer would have come to Mr. P as a buyer for a for sale by owner, there would have never been a transaction because Mr. P's prejudice, if you will, was strictly towards that. And there's no way that transaction would have ever ended.
Which is just a reminder, people, you need to focus on the right things in real estate. And the right things being a house that's properly maintained and repair negotiations that are fair to all parties. And frankly, at the end of the day, you shouldn't care who lives in it because you're selling it. And if you're the buyer, you shouldn't care who lives in it. You're the one that's going to be living there. It is kind of silly that anybody ever gets upset about this stuff. Wouldn't you agree, Bill?
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, we see it. Part of our job is that managing that expectations and over you know, going on 16 years of this, you get it regularly where you're, you know, where you're either being told by a, well, it's almost always being told by a seller that they do not want a specific class of people to move into their neighborhood or their house. And you just need to remind them.
Yeah, because the world we live in is a little bit of everybody, which is cool.
Exactly.
All right, Bill, if somebody's looking for an agent, I mean, anywhere in a whole bucket of states these days, and they can pick any brand they want, how can they reach you?
So I am Bill Hamburg with Remax Action out of Pennsylvania, Keller Williams Morristown out of New Jersey. And my phone number is 215-206-1980. That's my cell phone number. I always pick it up. And my email address is bhamberg, B-H-A-M-B-E-R-G, at PA, as in Pennsylvania, house, H-O-U-S-E-L-I-N-K, pahouselink.com.
And I know that none of y'all wrote that down, but that's okay, because that's why we have show notes and what we love about podcasts. So you can find Bill's information in this episode. And then if you look back at his other episode, I think you should totally compare contact information and see if his phone number is the same. And if it is, you should call him for all your needs up in the Philadelphia and zillions of surrounding areas needs.
Yeah, so Philly is right on the river across from New Jersey, so southern New Jersey. And our office is 10 miles west of Philadelphia. But we cover Philadelphia, Bucks, Montgomery, Chester, and Delaware counties.
So see, he's on that 95 corridor, I guess, right?
That's exactly correct. Thank
Shazam.
You.
All right, people, reach out to Bill with your needs in that area. And if you are a realtor, broker, investor, inspector, lender, and you want to share a story with us, then you should reach out. And if you are a consumer, please ask better questions of the realtors you hire, because there's an entirely different outcome when you wind up selecting somebody who's professional and is focused on a happy solution for all parties.
Thank you, Lee.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.